In his book, Knowing God, G.I. Packer writes these words. You sum up the whole of New Testament teaching in a single phrase if you speak of it as a revelation of the fatherhood of the Holy Creator. In the same way you sum up the whole of New Testament religion if you describe it as the knowledge of God as one's Holy Father. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and his prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new, is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. And I love this last statement. Father is the Christian name for God. G.I. Packer aptly describes what the Christian life is all about. We talk about the fact that Christianity is not a religion, it is a relationship. That it is a relationship with the living God, but we have to understand how that relationship works out in our lives. We have to understand what that relationship means on a daily basis. God did not design the Christian life to be a ritual to be performed. He did not design the Christian life to be a set of rules and regulations to be done. He designed the Christian life to be a living, abiding relationship with himself. But we have to understand what that means so that we can live it out. So that we can receive the full blessings that God desires for us. Because it is those blessings, and it is the interaction with God Himself, and it is a relationship that we experience with God Himself that gives us the primary motivation to turn away from the world and sin. I could spend every single Sunday of my ministry telling you to turn away from sin and telling you to do the right thing, and never ever give you the right motivation. The motivation is not obligation. It isn't even primarily it's the right thing to do. The primary motivation is that God is our Father, and He is the God of the universe, and He desires for us to live for Him. And He has given us all of these blessings and called us into His family, adopted Him, and done all of these things. And God then turns and says, as my children, this is what I ask of you to do. And then we do it. And we do it because it's the right thing to do, but we do it willingly, and we want to do it because God's done so much for us. And building that relationship and developing that relationship is crucial to experiencing all God desires. And so we began talking about, how do we know God? How do we have a relationship with a spirit being? Well, the first thing we talked about in reviewing last week is we said that all persons, God is three persons in one, Father, Son, and Spirit. God created us as persons, and all persons relate the same way, whether they are physically with us or whether they are in heaven. We all relate the same way to persons. We all have a relationship the same way. We know them in two ways. Number one, we know them intellectually. And number two, we know them experientially. We talked about this last time. I want to add a third point on how we know God. We know God intellectually. We know God experientially. Three, we know God as our Father. Our relationship with God is not primarily characterized as believers and God. It is as children and Father. So important. And he says in 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That's what we are. And we need to understand that. That God does not desire for us to primarily relate to Him as believer and God, but as child and Father. That's what Packer was saying when he said Father is the Christian name for God. When God caused us to be born again into His family, the essential nature of our relationship with the Creator of the universe became father and son or daughter. And God is a God that is not an imperfect human father. He's a God that is a perfect father. And we need to remind ourselves every day. And this is important because if you think God wants me to trust Him, that's not exactly the same as thinking my Father, God, wants me to trust Him. In one, you could say God wants me to trust Him because that's the right thing to do. And the other, you say, my Father, who loves me and is deeply concerned for me, desires for me to trust Him. See the warmth, the love in that, the intimacy that often Christians don't experience because they do not relate to God fully as their Father. They relate to Him, but not fully. There's a shift in thinking that has to take place. About a week ago, I was studying all this, and I was just meditating on it, and I was thinking about this, and I began to think about a very simple question, and that is this. If I truly believed everything in the Bible was true about God, and that this God was really my Father, how would I relate to Him on a daily basis? Is it the same as I'm relating to Him right now on a daily basis? In the morning when I got up and I began to relate, Father versus God, Father, thank you for what you've done versus God, thank you. Because God is our Father. And God wants to relate as our Father. And that is our essential relationship with Him. We are sons and daughters of God. And that's an important distinction that we have to have in our lives. And of course, there's nothing wrong with relating to God as God, but it's not enough. You won't get all the blessing. If somebody were to follow you around, would they see that here's a person deeply committed to God? Or would they see, here's a person deeply committed to God who is his Father? I mean, it's amazing the way that guy relates to God as a Father. He talks to Him. He shares his prayers, his concerns, his fears. Is that what an unbeliever would say if they knew you? Would they go, that guy's weird. I mean, he thinks God's his Father. I mean, he's so intimate with God. Amazing, isn't it? He is our Father. And He desires for us to treat Him as a Father. He is God who is a Father, so we have honor and respect. But the essential nature of our relationship and the warmth and intimacy with God comes from a faith recognition. That is, that I embrace it by faith that God is really my Father. It's not by going and trying to trump up, saying, oh, God is my, you know. That isn't what it is. It is a faith recognition. I'm going to act and believe and trust that God is my Father and act accordingly. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Shepherd. And He's our big brother. I didn't say that. He did. Look at John 20, verse 17. And often we read this and we pass by it and we just look at what he's saying. He's kind of like talking to Mary and he's saying, you know, go tell, you know, my disciples sort of things. But he didn't say my disciples. He said something more intimate. He said something deeper, stronger, warmer. Jesus said in John 20, 17, he said to Mary, do not hold on to me for I have not yet returned to the Father. His position on the throne. But notice the personal pronouns. Go instead. And what he calls his disciples. He doesn't say, or go instead to my disciples. He says, go instead to my brothers. That's not me saying, hey, go tell my brothers. That's Jesus saying it. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father. He had a personal, unique relationship with God the Father. But he says, and your Father. As God is my Father, He is your Father too. You know, it's interesting, you could follow progression. We are servants of Christ in what we do, but that is not our relationship with Christ. Our relationship with Christ is as brothers, with Him as our Lord and Shepherd. In John 15, Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends." And when He did that, He took them from behind Him and He brought them next to Him. And He said, "And the reason I call you friends is because servants do not know what their master is doing, and I'm going to reveal to you everything I'm doing." And then in John 20, He says, "I no longer just call you friends. I call you brothers." And of course, that would be generic. In this case, He was saying it to males because He was talking about disciples to be brothers and sisters. This is how it works out. Jesus says this: God has sent me to earth to die and to be the ultimate son. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you obey me, you obey the Father. If you love me, you love the Father. Watch me, follow me, obey me, and you'll love the Father, you'll submit to the Father, you'll do what the Father wants. And so God's ultimate plan is that we look to the Father with Christ next to us, and we get right behind Christ and we say, "Go." And we go wherever He goes. And it's such a great plan because Christ was a human. He knows what it's like to experience our weaknesses. God the Father says, "Follow my Son and we will make our abode with you." And then empower you with the third person of the Spirit, because the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. So we relate to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, we do it individually and together as three in one. It's an amazing relationship. But we need to understand that because our primary relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ is within a family. But we need to understand that He brings us into an intimate relationship with Him and the Father by calling us brothers. And we cannot miss that. That is part of the deepest blessing of God as a Christian. And it's part of what makes the Christian life light, as Jesus said. Because Jesus says, "You just hang on to me and I'll carry your burden with you." That's where the warmth and intimacy comes with God. And Jesus intercedes for us. He helps us with our weakness. He reveals and shows us the Father. So we need to grow in our relationship with God. That's knowing God as our Father. Number four, we need to grow in knowing God. How do we do that? Well, we grow the same way in any relationship. If to know somebody means that you know intellectually about them and you know experientially about them, then wouldn't growing in that relationship mean you grow in your intellectual and experiential knowledge? And that's what we need to do. We need to grow in our intellectual knowledge of God, and we need to grow in our experiential knowledge of God. And so, one, we need to grow in our intellectual knowledge of God, and we do it by growing in our knowledge of what He is all about, which means we open up the Word of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter says, and he's talking here not to baby Christians, to Christians. And he says, "Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk." He says, you as believers are to be like babies. They want food. Primarily milk. This is infants. And they have a very strong desire for it. And what God says is we should have a strong desire for the pure milk of the Word, which is a figurative expression, and meaning that we should want the Word of God in our hearts so that, verse 2, by it you may grow up in your salvation. You have it. You own it. It's yours, but you need to grow up in it. Mature in it. You're in the family of God, now you need to mature, and the way you do it is through the Word of God. Now, the way you do it through the Word of God is not by, you know, if I just read it enough, I'm going to grow. No. It's by embracing it by faith and reading it as if you know the person it's all about. I could read the Bible and go, okay, let's get sold. Versus reading and going, you know what? God is awesome. This is unbelievable. What God has done. And I can't believe it, but I'm related to that God. I'm His child. This is my Father doing this. It's like my dad, he was involved in a lot of things before I was born, in working different things in World War II and all that stuff. And I used to be fascinated by what he was telling me about what he did during World War II and all those things, because he was my father. And it wasn't just somebody from World War II telling me, it was my father. He was telling me. I was related to him doing that. It was telling me something about him, something about his priorities, his desires, his heart, his concerns. It's the same with God. And we grow by opening up the Bible and reading it as if it's about somebody we love and who loves us. And it is. So we should do it. But you know what? Perspective is everything, isn't it? Perspective is the whole thing in our Christian lives. These things that God asks us are not rituals to be performed. They're part of our relationship with Him. We're knowing about God. And that's where the joy is. Secondly, we need to grow in our experiential knowledge of God by giving God the maximum opportunity to display His attributes in our lives. We experience God by Him displaying our attributes. How do we grow in Him doing it? How do we get God to display His attributes more in our lives as the days go by? Does anybody else want that? I do. And I know you do too. There's several ways. Number one, these are all basic truths you know, just in different light. Let me say one more thing. We primarily do it by interacting with God. The question is, how do we interact with God? You know, you can interact with God on a daily basis. That's what the Christian life is. It's interacting with God. How do you do it? Number one, you interact with God as your Father by simply trusting Him. When you place your faith in God, you are responding to God's Word. You learn all about Him. God says, I have the power to accomplish that in your life. And you say, wow, God, you do have that. I believe that. And then you take your faith and you place it in God. God, I am going to trust You to work in my life. That is you interacting with God. Did you know that? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this, and we're all familiar with it. But how many times do we see it in the light of our relationship with God? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. There are times as a father when I'll say to my kids, you need to trust me on this. And God says the same thing. You need to trust me on this. And that's what God says. And He says that trust in the Lord for us as believers is trust in our Father. And in the Lord as our Savior and brother, who has committed themselves to bless and love us and strengthen us. Trust me on this. And when we do that, we are interacting with God. You may not have even thought about it as that. So we need to trust God in greater and greater ways. And the more you depend on Him, the channel's going to be wide open for His blessing. He's going to pour and pour His blessing on you. Secondly, we need not only to trust Him more, we need to communicate with Him. You know you can talk to God? Prayer, like the Word, and if you don't ever understand anything at all that I ever say about prayer, I want you to know this. Prayer is not a ritual to be performed. I don't say to my kids, at 9 o'clock every morning, I want you to sit down with me and I want you to speak to your Father. And I want you to tell me everything that's on your mind. Because if you don't, I'm not going to bless you. And I want you to do it for 20 minutes. And then when you're done, you may go your way to speak to me again the next day. They'd be going, what in the? What kind of a father is that? Think about it. Now that's often. Now that doesn't mean you can't set a time aside for God. But if you approach it like that, well, God wants me to speak to Him, so I will. And I got to pray. Okay, Lord. And we just do it to, you know, it's kind of like, we don't understand what's happening. Because the word prayer, we see it, we go, read the word. You know, it's a task. Okay. We don't understand. The word prayer isn't meant to be a task. Look at Matthew chapter 7. I want you to think about it and how I just defined it. Because we miss the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that we get the privilege of talking to God. He's absolutely desirous of telling us. He wants us to tell Him everything, our fears, our concerns. Why? So He can help us. What kind of a father doesn't want to help his kids? What kind of a father says, man, I'm glad my kids never talk to me. Whew, I got too many other things to do. I'm glad they're way off doing their own thing. Well, what kind of a father is that? A father that's not a real father. We want to hear their fears, their concerns, their desires. I tell my kids all the time, why don't you ask me? I'll help you. I can help. And the reality is God's the same way. He says, ask. Look at Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, of course, that means within God's will. But you know what? God's will is the safety valve that we don't mess up our lives. But make no mistake, God answers. God answers every single prayer we offer to him. He says, yes, no, wait. The way I operate is I keep praying until God says no. Till I know it's no, I keep praying and waiting. And don't be afraid to wait. My wife and I prayed that we could own a house for 20 years. And then God answered our prayer. And it was the wisest thing on God's part because we would have lost our shirt, all of our money, several different times because of me moving around pastorates. And then just at the right moment, the market dropped, we bought. And the Lord just went boom, 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 boom. Because we waited for the right timing. And you know, we need to wait. God has different plans for different people. We trusted. And you need to do that as well. But notice how God responds. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, gives him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And many times I have found in my life, if you look for God's blessing, it's there. And I've seen in my life, God will even give you little things that only you want, that nobody else would care about. And it's a little reminder that God cares about you individually. The second thing is, we interact with God by prayer. God interacts with us by answering prayer. Now here's the other side of prayer that's so important people don't understand, that makes it so wonderful. When James says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not, he wasn't just saying, oh, you know, if you just ask more, you would get more. What he was saying is this: you guys aren't experiencing everything God wants you to experience because you're not asking for it. You know why God asks us to pray to him and respond? Why he wants that so much? So why doesn't God just give us stuff? Why do we have to ask him? He does just give us. Think about this. If I just gave my kids, I just followed them around going, bless, 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 they would never have to interact with me. Never. I'd just be like a slot machine. Think about it. So what God does is he says, that's not a relationship. A relationship isn't me just blessing you and you doing nothing. A relationship, father, son, father, daughter, is you ask, I give. It revolutionizes the whole concept of prayer. That's why prayer is something you do throughout the day. I mean, if you want to sit and pray, that's good too. I sometimes walk around. But I give it the morning, Father, thank you for this day. Help me to get through it. But as I go through situations, I ask the Lord, depend on him. Help me to do it. And as God responds, I'm interacting with God. We're having a relationship. That's why he does it. We need to understand the whys, or we just have all these rituals we're doing, and there's no joy in that. There isn't. Or, and lastly, we need to submit to God and honor him to grow in our relationship with him. The basis of my relationship with my children is my children are equal to me in some sense as persons. They're both persons, but they're under my authority. And they cannot grow in their relationship with me as their father unless they submit. And they live in my family. And God has given me authority over them. And for them to relate, there has to be a submission to my priorities, my concerns, and my heart. Now, within that, I give them a lot of freedom. God gives us commands that are direct. Don't do this, don't do that. And he gives us priorities. And we need to understand it's like a family. And we need to submit to Him. Jesus said it simply this way in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll obey me. And again, obedience is not a ritual to be performed or an obligation to be accomplished. It's a way that we honor and respect God. But here's the difference. I honor and I submit to God because it's the right thing to do. But I want to do it, and it's pleasurable because He loves me. Let me say that again. I honor and submit to God because it's the right thing to do, but it's a pleasurable experience because He's done so much for me.